This is Tim and Tim Presents, written by Hobie Wan and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman All Media Types fic, rated for teen and up audiences, and in which no archive warnings apply, featuring Tim Drake and Bat Family members. This is part one of the Tim Drake is Two People AU series by Hobie Wan. Abridged summary, in which Tim Drake is actually two people instead of one. After years of only living half of a life, one Tim decides to take matters into his own hands and convince Bruce to accept both of them. Feat: one neatly organized PowerPoint presentation, one incredibly confused family, and two Tim Drakes intent on earning their family's love. What about Jack and Janet, you ask? Janet and Jack are terrible and do not deserve a spot on this list.
Had a great 7-year white knuckle ride, killing time, flying high as I held on tight to you. To you. Did I blow my mind on the wild side, singing hallelujah to him every night with you. With you. And I'm not gonna lie, say I've been alright.
Tim was practically vibrating when his other half walked through the bedroom door. Hey Tim, how are you? I've been thinking about what you said last time we talked about the possibility of telling Bruce the truth, which was 16 hours and 34 minutes ago, and I understand your concerns completely, especially the part... Keep your voice down, his other half hissed, shutting the door. Someone could hear you. The rest of the family would probably just assume Tim was talking to himself, which was sort of true. Still, better to be safe than sorry. Tim lowered his voice to a whisper. Especially the part where you freaked out about Bruce not loving us anymore, or Dick being too freaked out to ever hug us again, or Jason trying to kill one of us so there's only one replacement to deal with instead of two. But I figured out the perfect solution. Bruce likes numbers and charts and graphs, right? So we just need the right numbers and charts and graphs, color-coded with handy visuals and reliable sources. Before his other half could ask something annoying and irrelevant, like, when's the last time you ate? Or, did you sleep at all last night? Or, how much coffee have you had? Tim spun his laptop around and opened the PowerPoint. Voila! Tim Whisper shouted, beaming. Tim flipped through his slides. His other half read them, occasionally looking up to squint at Tim dubiously. Tim. Tim's face fell. You hate the chart on slide 3, don't you? I knew I should have done a bar graph instead of a pie chart. Bar graphs are so much easier to manipulate for emotional reactions. It's just, Dick loves pie, so I thought using a pie chart would be a great way to make him more sympathetic to... The pie chart is fine, his other half interrupted. Is it my sources? You think Bruce will be pissed that I use the ones from the Daily Planet? No, that's not... Oh god, do you think Jason will hate the picture I chose for my concluding slide? I swear, I didn't choose the twin Robins as a sort of haha fuck you hood, I'm Robin now. I just thought it would be funny and that's not... Is it the title? It's a little on the nose, but we can always come up with a new one. Besides, this is the family that calls stuff Batcave and Batmobile and Batfloor and Batplates and Batforks and Batnapkins. It's not any of that, his other half said, a little too loudly. He winced and went back to a whisper. It's all fine, except for the title. You're right, the title sucks. Tim deflated, opening the title slide to delete the text inside. Fine. What is it then? His other half wouldn't meet his eyes. Clasping his hands so tightly Tim could see the whites of his knuckles through his skin, his other half asked, Once they know, we can't take it back. It's not like it's even that bad right now, so it's safer if they don't find out. Tim mulled this statement over. In the self-help book he recently read, the author said the best way to address people's concerns was to understand where they were coming from, even if where they were coming from was a bundle of irrational trauma responses. The author didn't quite phrase it like that, but Tim was adept at reading through the lines. He was pretty sure that what his other half was saying could all be boiled down to the fear of the unknown and a denial of how bad their situation actually was. Maybe if Tim reminded his other half of how Bruce wasn't an abusive piece of shit, he would feel less anxiety about telling everyone. I mean, Bruce isn't like Mom or Dad, Tim said. Remember when I kept having nightmares, and Bruce came in and asked if he could hug me, and he sat with me until I fell back asleep? Or the time you had a panic attack after Hood, Anyway, remember how Bruce helped you through your panic attack? So we're already in a way better place than before. Exactly, his other half said. Why should we risk losing any of this? Well, that tactic slightly backfired. Bruce will probably find out at some point anyway, Tim interjected. We should just rip off the band-aid and tell him ourselves. At least this way, we would still be in control of the crash. His other half crossed his arms and raised one eyebrow. So your plan for damage control is to inflict the damage before anyone else can? Tim gulped. Yes, he said weakly. Before his other half could respond, he blurted out, I'm missing my spleen. What? Yeah, funny story. Ra's al Ghul has it in a jar somewhere, and I didn't want to tell you because I knew you would get stressed out and guilty and blame yourself. Anyway, if I get injured, I'll probably die without the right antibiotics. And if they know I'm missing my spleen, they'll notice and you're not missing your spleen. And that would lead to questions. And the questions would lead them to finding out we've been lying. And then, next thing you know, I'll be missing a spleen and a family. Tim took a deep breath. Anyway, we should just tell them. I'm tired of sneaking around. His other half opened his mouth several times, uncharacteristically lost for words. Finally, he muttered, If this goes badly, we are never following one of your plans ever again. And you'd better tell Bruce you're missing your spleen. I swear to God, what kind of self-sacrificial idiot keeps that to himself? Bold words from the guy who was all, Sure, Bruce, I totally don't mind having Sunday brunch with the guy who beat the shit out of me because of his misplaced anger with you. His other half delivered a scathing glare. After years of being Janet Drake's child, Tim was immune to scathing looks. Jason made a mistake, his other half said, his words clipped. I have elected not to hold it against him. He's Bruce's son, after all. Good to know Tim's other half had such strong regard for his emotional and physical well-being. But then again, Tim probably wasn't the best person to talk. Pot, kettle, black and all. Opening his email app, Tip composed a quick group email. To Bruce Wayne, CC, Alfred Pennyworth, Dick Grayson, Jason Todd. From Timothy Drake. Subject, family meeting. Hello, I hope your night is going well. I would like to request your presence tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. in the West Wing family room on the third floor. There is something that needs to be discussed with everyone present. Please let me know of any scheduling conflicts, and we can work out a different day or time that works for everyone. Thank you for your time. Timothy Drake. To Timothy Drake. CC, Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson, Jason Todd. From Alfred Pennyworth. Subject, family meeting. Master Tim, I will be happy to attend. Is everything all right? Alfred. To Timothy Drake. CC, Bruce Wayne, Alfred Pennyworth, Dick Grayson. From Jason Todd. Subject, family meeting. Yo, you ever heard of just texting the family GC like a normal person? To Jason Todd. CC, Timothy Drake, Bruce Wayne, Alfred Pennyworth. From Dick Grayson. Subject, family meeting. Little Wing, come on, be nice. Baby Bird, of course I'll be there. You know you don't have to schedule it like a business meeting though, right? You can just let us know if you want to talk. To Timothy Drake. CC, Alfred Pennyworth, Dick Grayson, Jason Todd. From Bruce Wayne. Subject, family meeting. Tim, thank you for asking. My night has been going well. I hope you have had a good evening, despite the cold weather. I am available tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Thank you for reaching out. Bruce Wayne. To Bruce Wayne. CC, Timothy Drake, Alfred Pennyworth, Dick Grayson. From Jason Todd. Subject, family meeting. WTF is wrong with both of you. To Bruce Wayne. CC, Alfred Pennyworth, Dick Grayson, Jason Todd. From Timothy Drake. Subject, family meeting. Thank you for all your prompt responses. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Best, Timothy Drake. The next morning, Tim's family filed into the family room at promptly 10:30 a.m. Tim was honestly impressed. He suspected Alfred's influence. Jason, dressed in his Wonder Woman pajamas and his Red Hood helmet, plopped on the couch, sprawling out like a limp starfish. Dick, in a sweater and leggings, tried to shove Jason over. When Jason refused to budge, Dick threw himself over Jason's lap like a grumpy yet over-affectionate cat. Get off, Jason yelled. Nope, Dick said gleefully. You're stuck with me for the rest of your life, Little Wing. I'm going to keep you here forever and ever, and I'm never going to stop cuddling. Jason tried to dump Dick on the floor, but Dick clung to him like a determined koala clinging to a tree. Eventually, Jason just accepted his fate, crossing his arms in what looked suspiciously like a sulk. Alfred, impeccably put together as always, entered with a tray with a cloche to keep in the heat and a small glass of orange juice. He set the tray on the small glass table, removing the cloche to reveal waffles and eggs with a fork, knife, and napkin on the side. You missed breakfast, Master Tim, Alfred said sternly. Tim said. Sorry about that. Tim wasn't very hungry. Nerves, probably. He forced down some of the waffles to appease Alfred, though, and then drained the glass of orange juice to wash them down. Bruce entered in a suit and tie, carrying a briefcase. He sat next to Alfred and opened his briefcase, pulling out a leather portfolio and setting up on the small glass table so he could take notes. Dick and Jason stared at him. What? Bruce asked blankly. Tim was glad someone was taking this seriously. Thank you all for coming, Tim said. Now that I have your attention, I would like to introduce the reason I called this meeting. Sorry about lying about not being two people for the past 3 years, but in our defense, we assumed it was all super normal and forgot to tell you. Tim opened the PowerPoint, the projector displaying it for everyone to see. The title was so long that the letters were tiny and cramped on the slide. Bruce, Dick, and Jason looked at Tim incredulously. Alfred looked openly dismayed. The title's a work in progress, Tim said apologetically. I thought about calling it Please Adopt Both of Us, but Tim vetoed that idea. I'm sorry, Jason said. Back up. Back the fuck up. Language, Bruce said automatically. He looked like he was barely paying attention to his own reprimand, pale and confused as he was. My little brother just said that he's actually two people, and you're concerned about my language? You think of me as your little brother? Tim's other half asked from inside the closet, sounding close to tears. Oh, shit. His other half wasn't supposed to reveal his presence yet. Tim hadn't even shown them the pie chart. In two strides, Bruce made his way to the closet and yanked it open. Tim's other half fell out, propping himself up with his hands just in time to avoid slamming his face on the floor. Hi, he said weakly. Sorry, we were planning on breaking this down with a little more organization. Tim's PowerPoint is pretty good, and he worked really hard on it, even if the title sucks. Oh my god, Dick said faintly. Damage control. Tim could do that. Tim was excellent at damage control. Ran damage control every day. Practically had a degree in it. We're twins, Tim blurted out, at the same time as his other half said, We're the same person. Tim glared at his other half. His other half glared back. Tim, how many times have I told you not to say we're the same person? Tim demanded. Dr. Markson, oh my god, do not bring up that stupid self-help book author again. Tim, he is literally a quack. I looked him up, and the college he got his degree from doesn't even exist. Okay, that is a point against his favor, but he's right about the whole autonomy thing. You're never going to be able to accept your own individual personhood until you accept that it's individual in the first place. Time out, Dick said. Please, time out right now. What's happening? Bruce hauled Tim's other half to his feet and set him beside Tim, scrutinizing them both. Tim felt like he was shriveling inside a little. Twins, Bruce said flatly. Tim gulped. It's all very explainable if you just let me go through the PowerPoint. There's no record of any other children, Bruce said. I know, and I'm going to explain that if... This doesn't make sense, Jason argued. This is literally conspiracy theory level bullshit. We would have noticed something like this. Like I said, it's very much explainable. Could it be clones, maybe? Jason asked. Or some freaky alternate universe thing? Or magic? Tim could be brainwashed to think there had always been two of him. That's not... Why weren't there any records? Bruce pressed. Tim felt close to tears. Or maybe screaming. He had a hard time parsing which urge was stronger, but he was definitely close to a breaking point. There should have been some kind of paper trail, birth certificates, hospital records. Could you both shut up and let him give his PowerPoint? Tim's other half snarled, his hands clenched in fists at his side. Bruce and Jason fell silent. I think that would be a good idea, Alfred said firmly, giving Tim a nod. Tim realized with no little fury that he had started crying for real. Great. Not only had the meeting spiraled out of control, Tim had also just revealed how stupid and weak he was. "I'm sorry," Bruce said quietly. "Please go ahead." Tim scrubbed his face with his sleeves, then turned back to the PowerPoint. He said. "Great start, Drake. Your parents are smiling with pride from their graves." "Anyway," he pressed a button on his laptop to move to the next slide, which was labeled Background Information, a picture of Janet and Jack underneath. "So, Mom and Dad were busy being archaeologists, right? When Mom found out she was pregnant, she and Dad were already kind of upset because they just didn't have enough time to raise a kid. So, when they found out Mom was pregnant with twins, it was worse because raising two kids takes even more effort. So, about a year into us being born, they just kind of stopped. Treating us like two kids, I mean." Looking greatly dismayed, Dick opened his mouth. Alfred touched his shoulder gently, and Dick's mouth closed. "I don't know what they did or who they bought off," Tim said, "but there's no record of the two of us because they deleted one of us. Whichever one of us hadn't been named Timothy Jackson Drake, that is. And then they just raised us as one kid from then on. We took turns deciding which one of us could be Tim, and then when we became Robin, we took turns with that too." Instead of looking relieved that Tim was giving a coherent explanation, Bruce just looked even more upset, his lips in a tight line. This wasn't what was supposed to happen. Bruce was supposed to hear the explanation for how they got here, express sympathy because, "Wow, Tim, that sounds like a very stressful situation, and you're both so good for helping each other through that," and be prepared to listen to Tim's next proposals. But Bruce looked angry, and if Bruce were angry, then he might not listen to Tim. And then all of this would have been for nothing. His other half was right. This was a stupid idea, and Tim should have just stayed content with the way things were. Tim's other half pressed the next slide. The pie chart popped up. "This is a chart that depicts the percentage of work completed by the both of us. As the chart shows, Tim handles more of the business aspects, which is why you got that obnoxious group email yesterday. He frequently falls into corporate drone mode off the clock. But anyway, I'm more present as Red Robin, probably because I'm not missing my spleen, unlike someone." "Your what?" Bruce started, but stopped upon Alfred clearing his throat. "Sorry for interrupting. Continue." "So it's not like one of us is dead weight or anything like that," Tim's other half assured them. "We carry our own, even if we do lean toward different things, and even though someone is missing an organ." Tim glowered at his other half, who just looked back unrepentantly. Dick looked slightly ill. Judging by his twitching fingers by a holster that wasn't there, Jason looked like he wanted to shoot someone. Bruce's face was unreadable. Worst of all, Alfred looked pitying. Having forced the panic back down his throat, Tim pressed the next slide. It was titled Personal Autonomy. "I've been researching the effect that living as one person instead of two separate people has, and I've come to the conclusion that it's slightly damaging to our mental health," Tim said. "It encourages codependence. Stop scowling, Tim, you know I'm right. And it actively hinders personal growth and individual achievement." He took a deep breath. The legal process to try to separate us as two individuals instead of just one person would likely be extremely complicated. However, the first steps that could be taken outside of the legal realm would be acknowledgement from family and close friends. Stop wiggling your eyebrows at me, Tim. Bernard is just a friend. You're so annoying. He cleared his throat. Anyway, acknowledgement from family and close friends that we are two people would help us attain personal autonomy and individual goals. He clicked to the next slide, which was titled Benefits to Adopting Both of Us. Once we are legally declared as two different people, the adoption would probably be called into question. Did Bruce adopt both of us? Did Bruce only adopt one of us? Is the adoption as a whole invalid since... All of a sudden, Bruce had both Tim and his other half in a hug, one arm around each as he held them tightly to his chest. Tim said eloquently. "I didn't finish." "I'm adopting you both," Bruce said. "There's still, like, two more slides, and I haven't shown you my sources yet, so you may want to hold that thought." "I'm adopting you both," Bruce repeated firmly. "Are you sure? Mom and Dad..." "Your mom and dad suck, Tim," Jason said. He yelped, probably because Dick elbowed him. "I'm just saying, that's literally child abuse." "No, it's not," Tim's other half said, sounding confused. Bruce just hugged them even more tightly. Tim felt his shoulders relax. This went better than he'd thought it would. He didn't even have to go over the slide about how he and his other half can be really quiet and not eat too much food, so it would basically be like there was only one of them. "So is no one going to address the fact that one of them is missing their spleen?" Dick asked. "Because what the fudge, baby bird? That's something you tell us." "That's what I've been saying," Tim's other half said. Tim ignored them both, burying his face in Bruce's chest. Their dad was hugging them. Their dad still loved them. Their dad wanted them both. It was, Tim couldn't help but feel, going to be a good day. The end. What can I say? I'm surviving. Calling out these sheets to see another day. What can I say? I'm surviving. And I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fine. I think I'll be fine. Author's end notes. Someone pointed out that canon timeline-wise, Damien would be here. I wanted the spleen joke but didn't want Damien to be here during the reveal because for some reason it's funnier to me to have Damien just show up while this is all happening. So, yeah, timelines are my little bitch boy. No, I won't elaborate. Podfigger's note. This has been podficked as a treat for the Summer Podfic Swap 2023. It is a gift for Melancholy Morningstar and Litra. Both of you said that you like Jen, Batfam, and Crack to some variety, so I was really hoping that you would enjoy this fic. It's one that I really, really like, and I think it's very cute and very fun, and also very wildly out there. If you, the listener, enjoyed this podfic, please consider leaving a kudos or comment on the podfic post on AO3, and if you enjoyed the story, please do not forget to go back to the original fics post and leave a kudos and or comment for the author, Hobie-Wan, as well. Thank you for listening.